It's hour number three of Shirts and Skins with Chad and Trey. Pick out the stems and seeds at 2:45. The NFL is grappling with an opt-out date for reasons related to COVID. At 2:30, why August 3rd matters, including Grab Some Nuts Day, is apparently a real thing. And in mere minutes, the Big 12 may finally decide what to do with the upcoming football season. I'm Trey Elling, and sitting across from me, it is Chad Hastings.
Yes, indeed. Hour number three on a Monday. Somebody texted in, Malford Milligan used to go to the Canary Club to karaoke. It was cool because it was kind of like a concert. Well, yeah. If you end up in a karaoke situation and an actual lead singer, an actual singer walks in and wants to do karaoke, that's a whole different discussion. And I can only imagine what it was like to hear. What would Malford Milligan like? What would his go-to be at karaoke? That had to be fun. Somebody says there, don't play it because everybody has to scream. Bar song would be anything by Def Leppard. Sorry, Chad. No, I get it. I get it. Pour Some Sugar on Me is one that everybody has to scream and yell a little too much, and you might be spreading the COVID around the bar. I get it. Trey just talked about in
Pour Some COVID on Me, more like it,
in
Chad.
Where we at in society that a bar in Ireland has banned Sweet Caroline by Neil Diamond because there's just too much spittle flying during Sweet Caroline.
I have to leave a bar. One, I'm very rarely at karaoke bars, but I have to leave the bar if I do find myself at a karaoke bar and that stupid Bon Jovi song starts back up.
You mean Living on a Prayer?
I cannot handle that song on its own, much less when the entire bar is singing it.
That's a song that people should never try to sing because the notes are so high, and they don't think of it that way.
Even Bon Jovi can't hit those notes anymore,
exactly,
as you told me.
Right, if John can't get up there now, we just need to give him the respect for what he could do back in 86 and move on. Trey, there's only one place I've ever been. Let's see if this is true. Hang on. Yeah, no, it's true. I've actually only, I think, been to karaoke on a cruise. I don't think I've ever been to karaoke on dry land. Hmm. Karaoke, to me, was made for cruising. I mean, it is the perfect thing to do for, A, the people that think they could sing, but also for us folk that just want to go have a drink. If I'm drinking a little bit of alcohol and, you know, Nelly whoever and Teddy, I don't even care, get up on stage and do an okay job, I can live with it, but generally they're terrible and I can just finish my drink and leave and I don't have to worry about driving anywhere or whatever. So to me, that's the only place where karaoke belongs, on a cruise ship.
I feel like in that scenario, Chad, heckling should be encouraged.
Oh, there was definitely some heckling.
Okay, good.
Oh, yeah.
Because you're trapped on a boat. There's only so many places you can go to escape that karaoke.
Oh, sure. Some good sarcastic heckling definitely happened. Absolutely.
Out of your mouth?
Yeah, sure. My experience is on every cruise ship karaoke session that I've been to, there's always that one person that thinks they sing the song better than they actually sing the song.
They try and go Mariah Carey on the song.
And what you got to pray is that the woman picks a female artist that is nowhere close to reasonable. Mm-hmm. You need to hope she picks like Celine Dion from Titanic or like some Dolly Parton track that she thinks she can actually hold on to, but she has no chance. And with the guys, you're only hoping for one song, My Way. That's it. That's all I'm hoping for. Because every other guy on a cruise in a karaoke room thinks they can sing My Way. And only like one in every 400 of them is right. It's fantastic. It's fantastic to watch how bad it can get.
Yeah, it turns into Fergie singing the national anthem for a lot of these people, where they're trying to not only hit notes that they can't hit, but they're trying to change the song up in ways that makes it uniquely them. It's like, dude, you're some rando from the burbs. Nobody gives a damn about your version of this song. Just try and sing it like it sounds.
Yeah, it is brutal. It is so brutal. I love watching people get into those situations, and it's like, oh, no, you just wait. No, wait. Wait till they hear my version of this song. It'll change their life. No, it won't, Earl. I promise. No, it won't. No, it will not.
Oh, gosh.
All right, so the question, Trey, is will we get the world of college football changed tonight by the time we go to bed? Will we know the Big 12's plan? I guess before we rip them too much again, let's make sure we understand. We do not know the full plan of the SEC. They haven't announced a game. The Big Ten has still not given us a game on the schedule at all. Michigan and Ohio State playing the first game, last game, middle, who knows? Nobody knows. The ACC has not announced one thing after saying conference plus one. They're basically trapped now, and I don't know how they're going to handle that non-conference. They haven't actually scheduled a game. Only the Pac-12, as of late last week, has actually scheduled games. So let's make sure we're clear on that. But the Big 12 is still the last of the five to actually come up with a plan. And they don't have one. Bob Bowlesby is telling us that maybe it's, hopefully it was over the weekend. This is the scariest, here's the scary version for me today, Trey. What if Bob Bowlesby goes into tonight's, whatever it is, to present the four or five ideas? What if tonight is to figure out the four or five options and not to actually tell us which one they're going with?
Well, based on the reports from over the weekend, I think they actually do have four or five ideas in mind that they're going to try and talk their way through tonight. All that right. Includes the least likely scenario, which is so disappointing to hear this, considering what the other Power Fives are doing, which is conference only.
That's the least likely for them?
Least likely, okay. According to an insider that I trust. I'm sorry, I don't remember the name off the top of my head. That was least likely. There's also the possibility of conference plus one, which I think is most realistic right now, because it does seem like the Big 12 is trying to keep at least some of their non-conference games in play, all the way to the Big 12 saying, you know what? You guys, as institutions, figure out how many non-conference games you're going to play. We'll be okay with that. We're going to keep the conference schedule as is.
Ooh, man. That would be tough.
That's how disorganized this whole thing is that is actually an option for them right now, is telling the schools to figure it out themselves. You be you is what the Big 12 is saying.
So Oklahoma could play 11, Texas could play 10, Kansas could be comfortable playing 9 and have no non-conference, and they'll be good with that?
Hell, Kansas could end up playing 18 with Les Miles in charge.
Yeah, that's true. So in the end, if they end up with a non-conference idea, do you think that most of the teams will just keep one non-conference game they already have? Like Texas will just pick between South Florida and what's their other one? Rice?
Yes. UTEP.
UTEP, I'm sorry. Will they just pick between one of those teams? Will Oklahoma just stick with Missouri State and roll? Or do you think we're going to see a whole new mindset where there's extra communication with the AAC or Southland or whatever?
I'm glad you mentioned the AAC, because the AAC was supposed to have made a decision last week, and they haven't said anything yet, which does have me wondering if the Big 12 and AAC are trying to figure something out together, because there are some regional similarities in terms of where teams are located, with both conferences being spread out throughout the country.
Mm-hmm.
Like even West Virginia would have a partner that is much closer to them than anybody in their own conference.
Absolutely.
Right?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Because they stretch all the way over. UConn's in that conference.
UConn, is Temple in that conference?
Yep.
So Temple is, you know, that's Philadelphia. That's going to be much closer than
reasonable.
Even Ames, Iowa.
Yeah, no, that's a great point. And if I'm not mistaken, one of the key teams for a Big 12 school would be that SMU is in that conference, and they've got a rival set up outside of conference. It's scheduled right now.
Very true.
You could still have the Skillet game with TCU. It's right there on the schedule. Do you need to move it a little bit? You know, you can figure that out. But if you asked a TCU and an SMU fan, what's the game outside of your conference you have to play? That's what it is. So maybe you could preserve, we're losing so many rivalry games now anyway, maybe that's a way they could preserve at least heck, even if you don't have agreements with the two conferences,
mm-hmm.
Let Gary play that game. That's a big deal in Dallas and Fort Worth. And oh, by the way, it's Dallas and Fort Worth. It's get on a bus and drive across I-30.
No question.
That's such an easy game to do.
Yeah, and I think one of the Big 12 schools is playing Tulsa. I want to say Oklahoma State and maybe Baylor or somebody like that. So there are natural partnerships there.
Mm-hmm.
There will be some that are maybe a little bit of stretches. And also, you have more teams in the AAC than you do the Big 12. So obviously, somebody's going to end up being left out. Maybe they get to partner with the Southland Conference or something like that. But that's also on the table. Now, for me as a fan of the Big 12, I laid out the scenario that I would try and pull off if I was Bob Bowlesby and the other decision makers in this conference. And I mentioned it in hour one. I'll mention it here again, too. If you're the Big 12, you go conference only, which means nine games. And at the end of that nine-game regular season, you take the top eight teams by win percentage and have an eight-team conference tourney. First two rounds at the home fields of the better-seeded teams. Championship game at Jerry World. You probably even push that championship game date back 2 weeks to when the SEC and Pac-12 plan on playing their conference championship games. Is that plan perfect? No. But your top two teams end up playing 12 games, and you keep all of the TV money in conference, which is something else that I think is very important this year, is maximizing how much you're able to bring in as a conference, because you will likely not be playing many games with stadiums that are anywhere close to even half full, which is going to be a huge hit on the overall finances for the department for the entire year, not just for football.
Yeah, the other thing, I heard this discussion the other day that could factor into it. If you're a big conference, we all think of it as those non-conference games being the payout game for the little teams, right, for the little schools. Well, they're losing that payout. Well, that's true.
Mm-hmm.
But the big school has to pay the payout. So if you are a school like LSU or Ohio State, or in this case, Texas or Oklahoma, it could be a benefit to you because you're just looking for any amount of, you know, you don't know how much season you actually get to play. So it could help you to not have to pay those things out. Oklahoma doesn't have to pay Missouri State. Texas wouldn't have to pay South Florida. And then with your idea, you're keeping it contained in your conference. Each of the Power Fives, outside of that ACC thing, will be keeping everything basically for themselves, making as much as you can make with you and your TV partners. And then we'll all come back together in 2021 and go back to, hopefully, football as we know it to a degree. But maybe that does make sense, because then let's save as much money as we can across the board. Coaches are taking pay cuts across this and other conferences. Let's go ahead and cut a little more money by saying, you know what, Texas, OU, Oklahoma State. I mean, think about it. Kansas has to make payouts. Kansas plays little schools too.
Texas owes South Florida something like $2 million for them coming here this year.
Yeah, so if you didn't have to do it, would that help you out?
Absolutely it would.
I would think.
How about this, Chad? Not to take the steering wheel and jerk it into oncoming traffic, but
yes,
we're just seeing this story coming down, and thank you to the texter for asking if we have seen this just yet. Reading straight from Stuart Mandel's Twitter feed, SL Mandel, the editor at The Athletic for their college football coverage, which is fantastic.
Mm-hmm.
Explosive allegation from a TCU linebacker saying Gary Patterson used the N-word twice, and that the defense refused to go to practice this morning. So Gary Patterson, at some point over the weekend, I'm guessing, I still haven't read the specific allegations from this linebacker, but Gary Patterson dropped a couple N-bombs in practice, and the defense refuses to participate as a result. Boy, if Gary Patterson doesn't have his defense, Chad, what good is he as a head coach?
I pulled this up. I'll read a little bit of it if you want to hear a little bit. So, okay, it says this is coming from, looks like a phone screenshot here from this,
the notes
from this player, the notes from the
iPhone
phone.
Notes.
Okay. This says, this past Sunday was our third practice of fall camp. Coach Patterson called me out for posting my girlfriend on National Girlfriend Day in front of the defense. We actually talked about that last week. It was National Girlfriend Day over the weekend. As practice moved on, he approached me and told him, you should have just asked me about it. He then said, you're an effing brat. I'll send you back to Pitt. I'm assuming that's where he's from. I said, for what? I didn't do anything. He followed with, you've been saying, and then he types the N-word, but with the A at the end. The A-S at the end. You've been saying that in the meeting room. This morning I show up for practice and multiple players approached me and asked if it was true. I told them yes and how everything happened. We refused to go to practice this morning, and he comes to the locker room and said I wasn't calling him a, and then says the N-worded, this behavior is not okay now or ever, and there needs to be repercussions to these actions. So maybe Gary Patterson isn't just concerned about what Bob Bowlsby has on his mind today.
Well, congratulations to Mike Gundy for moving up in the rankings of most aloof coach in the Big 12. He is now a firm second most aloof coach in the Big 12 after Gary Patterson's actions from over the weekend and this morning.
Look, I can understand not being happy when one of your players is bringing light to National Girlfriend Day, but the fact that it got to there, I'm confused. I'm thoroughly confused as how that escalated that fast, that quickly. So how about that? The TCU defensive players refusing to practice? Gary Patterson's rep being what it is as a defensive coach?
Because Gary Patterson decided to say the N-word a couple of times.
His side of the ball decides not to play, not to practice. And you got the Pac-12 players with their letter to the conference. And then you that's just there's a lot going on. A lot going on right now. But look for that story to possibly develop in the salacious side of college football. Wow.
Maybe when Big 12 officials have a conversation later on, they can temporarily kick TCU out for the year because they may be without their head football coach or maybe dealing with somebody in the interim for the next 3 to 4 months. Bring SMU in their place, bring BYU in as well, and then at that point you have a nice 11-team conference, 10-team conference schedule.
It's just such a bizarre thing, too. And by the way, I'm always a big fan in general of handling the business behind the scenes. That's another thing that's gone in 2020, Trey. Behind the scenes is gone. There's no such thing as behind the scenes anymore. Because when the SEC tried to go behind the scenes with their players on a conference call, that information got out to the Washington Post. And when a Washington State player communicated with his head coach and the head coach said something that was a little off-putting, that ended up with the Dallas Morning News. And in this case, this may have been a situation where Gary Patterson should have pulled a player aside and said, hey, I'm a little uncomfortable with some language you've been using in the meeting room. Could you not use this word or whatever? It's making me a little uncomfortable.
Is that what he was saying there? I didn't even totally understand the context of it.
I think Gary Patterson is saying he had a player that was using the N-word in a meeting room and might have been using it in sort of a more familiar way or using it as maybe he's saying it in terms of a teammate and he's calling a teammate that or a teammate's calling him that and it's being done in a more.
So he's saying you've been saying the N-word in the meeting room.
In the locker room, yes.
Okay.
And so, yeah, but it just feels like another situation of can we just handle stuff behind the scenes and away from cameras and recording devices and just deal with it? Apparently we can't. Everything's got to be out in the open and then this has to come out and everyone in sports media is going to be reacting to it today.
Boy, how passive-aggressive by Gary Patterson, by the way.
Sounds like
he's upset because the guy said the N-word in a meeting room, so he's going to call him to task about posting about his girlfriend and then threaten to send him back to Pitt as a result?
Yeah, it's weird.
What a brat you are, Gary Patterson. What a pee move by you.
And this makes me way too sensitive to be a football player, but why is a football coach calling a player an effing brat? Why? Why would you ever need to have that to come out of your mouth? Just be a little more respectful. Am I asking too much?
Not that I have a sterling opinion of Gary Patterson to begin with. He is one of the dirtiest recruiters around in terms of trying to trash other programs and negative talk other people. But this is a really, really bad look for him, even without the N-word stuff,
yeah,
which obviously makes it that much worse. Gary Patterson's just a punk ass here.
Man,
there's no way around that.
That is a tough one. All right, you'll hear more about that story coming up. Man, oh man. All mics are on. All mics are on, no matter what walk of life you are in. So the Big 12 may be making its decision tonight. And then also, if you just jumped in and you're a Texas fan, definitely find your way to texassports.com tonight. You can find it, I'm sure, through Chris Del Conte's Twitter, Hartzell's Twitter, all that. But they've released protocol for DKR, what they're hoping to do at DKR. Tailgating is still possible, but you got to do it under certain restrictions. The mask wearing is pretty clearly defined for those in the suites, but not really defined as clearly for those in the normal seats. And Trey, the other thing that's not clearly defined is, are they riding with the 25% idea, or is it 20, or what are they shooting for? Because it doesn't feel like with this latest announcement that they've got a number in their head anymore. They need to let the fans know clearly of we're shooting for this number. Last thing I heard was 25%. This one doesn't restate that.
It doesn't, and it sets priority ticket limits for 2020 for individuals giving a certain amount to the Longhorn Foundation. And if you give more than $75,000 in a year to the Longhorn Foundation, you get 12 tickets per game.
That's your limit, right?
I know there's
you
not
go
a,
up to 12.
I know there's not a ton of alumni that are giving that much money to the foundation each year. So, I don't know, maybe it's 100 people that are doing that. If so, that's 1,200 tickets. So, it's not a crazy allotment, although it is, what, more than 5%. But for anybody who goes $50,000 to $9,999, you get 4 tickets per game. Like, the math seems like it's not going to work out unless that many people have already opted out of season tickets for this year.
Yeah,
and at that point, they have a better handle on their numbers, and they know that these figures will actually work out with the less than 20,000 tickets they have to work with.
Yeah, and then, of course, the next set of questions for me would be, first, you got to figure out, again, your conference has to decide what they're going to do, how many games you're going to play, where are those games going to be played, how many are at home. But then you have to say, are you still planning on bringing students to campus? If so, how? If not, how do students that are on online learning get into a situation of tickets? How are students going to be able to go to games? They've got to figure all that out.
So students, this is below the general ticketing information. Students can purchase what is now known as the big ticket and will receive access to all 2020 Texas football games.
Good.
Seating is general admission, and students may sit in groups no larger than 10 people. Unavailable seats will be marked accordingly. Students with the Longhorn Foundation student membership will receive priority entry at all home games.
Cool. They should. You know, I'm hoping that with colleges, if you're letting anybody in, you are giving special attention to your students. It's not obviously something that NFL teams are going to have to deal with if they're going to try it, but you got to have some kind of attitude towards the students. And I would hope, if I was an alumni, if I was a big-time alumni, donor, booster, I'm giving all this money, that would be one of my focuses too. If I need to give up a ticket or two, or I need to give up, look, what you tell me, we need to make sure these students, the current students, have the experience if they want to.
Mm-hmm.
Because we all, you know it as well as I do, Trey. You only get one chance to be a college student and go to college football games. There's one cycle through there, and then for the rest of your life, you're an alumni. There's only one time you get to be the student, and it's while you're at school. It's a special time, and we need to hopefully give them that experience, even if it's a weird version of it.
Yeah, no, look, ultimately you're right about that. The math is already going to be tricky even without the students. Once you factor the students in, you take away what is probably going to be a little bit more than, or maybe just a little bit less than, a quarter of the stadium, there goes another 5,000 tickets.
In the world of COVID-19, I bet it's good to be right now like a president or an AD at a school where the students don't care about going to games at all. Like, at all. And you're like, oh, we don't have to worry about anything. Have you seen the students that are coming here? We maybe get 100 students at every game. We're good. We're fine. Call all the boosters. See if they want to come.
Somebody is asking if Patterson was calling the player the N-word or just quoting a player. By all
he was quoting
accounts, it looks like he was quoting the player. Yeah. But good Lord, what an aloof thing for him to do regardless.
Yeah, it's just a weird thing to do at practice. Now, supposedly they were off to the side of practice. I don't think he did it in a like in an Oklahoma drill situation, but I think they went off to the side, had this conversation. Then my question might be to the player, okay, if you had that conversation, how did everybody else find out about it?
Because he said Gary Patterson said the N-word to me.
No, this is right. But Gary Patterson wasn't calling him the N-word. Gary Patterson was referencing him using the N-word in a meeting room. Like, that's between the two of them is what I'm saying.
It's between the two of them, but
so then
read the situation a little bit better than that.
But then the player went off and told other teammates, like, oh my God, he used the N-word around me.
Have more common sense than that, Gary Patterson, on any day of the week, but especially considering what this country's been going through for the last couple of months.
Yeah.
Period. And then he doubled down, though. That's the problem.
Right.
He doubled down with not the A version of the word, but the ER version of the word.
Yeah, probably would have been good to go with the N-word. Say it that way.
Say, I wasn't calling him the N-word.
Yeah, right.
I was quoting him in the meeting room where I was being a petulant child about him mentioning his girlfriend on social media because I was really upset about him using the N-word.
That, by the way, is the best Gary Patterson impersonation I've ever heard in my life.
If only I had the diabetes niche, Chad.
Oh, come on, man. Well, you know, no matter what it was, no matter what context, Gary was screaming at the top of his lungs when he said it. His face was red, and there was spittle flying. That'd be my concern. Not only did that conversation happen and the words that were in it, but did Gary Patterson give the player COVID-19 as it was happening? That might be another concern. All right, look for that story. That one I feel like may not go away for a while, but hopefully we get that Big 12 announcement tonight to find out where it's headed, and maybe these other conferences start scheduling pretty quick too. All right, up next, we'll tell you why August 3rd matters, including another good National Food Day to get into, and we've got some on this day in sports, including a truly historic moment in the world of the Olympics. That is coming up. Got a couple of big birthdays too. Folks still cranking it up in their 90s. We got to get one of them back out on tour. I'll tell you who he is on the horn. I know that voice. This will be off the new album, I'm assuming?
Yes. Sleep at Night is the name of the song.
Still got to get through that whole album. I'm not sure what it says that I haven't gotten through the whole album yet. Gaslighter is out there, though. It's been out since about mid-July, I think, on that one. New music for you on a Monday to check out. Trace played new Weezer today. The Heartless Bastards have a new track. Billie Eilish has a new track out there. Robert Plant even has a new song out you may want to check out. All right, let's get into why August 3rd matters, including somebody that's on the phone.
Why Today Matters, brought to you by Sinus and Snoring Specialist. Get sinus and snoring relief with Dr. Daniel Slaughter at Sinus and Snoring Specialist. 512-601-0303 or sinussnoringent.com.
I'll tell you why August 3rd matters now, because Tom McKay's on the phone. The Caro's Cafe and Cantina Hotline will give them some love, too. Tom, how are you?
I'm doing good, guys. I've been listening today quite a bit, driving around employment, hearing about all the college turmoil and trying to figure out what they're going to do with the college playing and the college students coming in and everything else. And I could tell, there's one thing that's bothering me over all of it that nobody seems to be discussing, and that's if you can't do the college things, then why are they going to go to college? Why don't all this? That's the one thing I could say, okay, I mean, if you're not going to allow them to get in the hallucinogenics and the amphetamines and the, you know, plastic covered mattresses with Crisco and chocolate sauce and do all the real things that college is about, then just stay home and do virtual and sit with your parents and be millennials or something. But come on, let them, I mean, if they're gonna do it, they're gonna do it. You know, if you send them all to campus and they're all sitting there in a dorm, there isn't one night that there's not gonna be an orgy on one of the floors. Come on.
Well, and the other thing, Tom, I think that I was thinking about this, you know, we were talking about it today off the air. Can you imagine being a college football coach right now and you're thinking of just what you said? You know what the truth is. You know that when students come to campus, if they do that, there are going to be parties. You can only tell them so much and what to do and what not to do. And then, I mean, if I'm a college football coach, I'm just thinking, is there any way, forget about the season, is there any way we can get through three games and be okay?
There's a possibility for like four schools to have the intelligence to do it. I mean, if Cornell and Harvard and Yale and maybe Army want to say, okay, you four play, we'll watch y'all all. You just do a round robin of those guys. That's the only schools with enough intelligence to manage to keep the guys from jumping all over everything.
Yeah, it's going to be tough. Going to be tough to pull off. Right now, Tom, would you go to a college football game if they let you go?
Oh, yeah. I was at the baseball game with BK last week. Social distancing is not that hard, folks. Everybody just has to do it right.
Yeah, there you go. They're even going to let them tailgate. You just got to be 40 feet away from the next tailgate.
Well, I don't tailgate any. I'm not a drinker, but I'll go out and do some other stuff with y'all.
There you go. All right. They may have that. They may have social distance other stuff available at the games.
Social distance hallucinogenics. There you go.
There it is. Then the distance gets even greater. 6 feet looks like a mile if you got the right substance in you. Come on, man.
You got it.
Have a good one, Tom.
We got it all figured out.
Yes, sir.
Thanks, Tom.
Have a good one, brother. Tom McKay, Audiovisual Consultations, calling in, one of the great fans of the station. Some good points, some good questions. That's what I've been thinking about in terms of whether it's, you know, a trip or whatever as a fan, you're thinking about going. But the tough part is that, again, that college clock is ticking for the students. In terms of the experience, I agree with Tom. I mean, on one hand, I'd be thinking, wait, if I'm going into my, like, sophomore, junior year, let's say I'm going into the year where I turn 21. And I'm thinking, man, I can't party like I need to party. Can't have the experience I need to have. I don't want to go to college and have to worry about wearing a mask and, you know, I can't ask a girl or guy out because blah, 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 whatever. But it's hard to just say, let's just stop and I'll go back the next year. I mean, maybe you can. Talk to your parents about that. I'll just stay at the house, mom and dad, and then go back when it's normal. Just see how that goes for you.
UT has made it illegal for on and off campus parties.
Is that right?
Yeah. That news came out last week. I had the story marked. We never got to it.
How do you define a party? How are we defining that?
Probably a gathering of 10 or more people.
10 or more.
It goes past a certain hour.
All right. Fair enough. Trey, today is the national day of really, I think, one of the official foods of Texas. As I was growing up, I learned that people in the state of Texas and really around the South, they love watermelon. And when you don't like watermelon, you get made fun of forever. I'm not a watermelon guy.
Where is this?
Texas and kind of across the South.
But okay.
I've been made fun of by so many different family members, friends, or whatever, because I'm not a watermelon guy.
Really?
Watermelon is at least
so simple.
At least where I was growing up, it was a big deal. There was a big festival out near my grandparents. You'd go to this downtown on a Friday, and they would literally give anyone who showed up a half a watermelon. Anybody, kid, from a 5-year-old to a 90-year-old, they'd have seed spitting contests, do the whole thing. But like my grandfather loved watermelon on a religious level. So does my mom. My dad loves it. My brother, everybody around me loved it but me.
Well, that's because watermelon is a lot like pumpkin in that it's a vine plant and it really will take over an area like a weed. And so you get to where you have an excess of watermelon. And watermelon, as delicious as it is for me, is not a very accessible fruit in terms of like picking it off the vine and just eating it. It takes some preparation.
Oh, yeah.
To actually get the watermelon to where it becomes edible.
You got seeds you're allowed to eat and seeds you're not allowed to eat.
I mean, what are the seeds you're not allowed to eat?
You can't eat the black ones, but you can eat the white ones. Is that right?
I guess.
But I
think you can eat the black ones too.
I'm going to take all seeds out because I'm just not going to mess with it. I can't, like the big watermelon seeds, I'm not dealing with those.
Spitting the seeds is also another fun part of the watermelon. Chad, you know, I feel a little bit better about my daughter Vivian being so disgusted by watermelon now. I thought that was a very strange thing out of her, but apparently there are people that just don't care for watermelon.
Yeah,
she doesn't like it. And for me, it's one of those things that's so refreshing because it does have a sugar element to it, of course, but it is also very quenching because it is so much water.
That's why my wife loves it and so many others do too. Yeah, it's just never been my thing. I can eat it. I put it in like a smoothie, mixed it up yesterday. That's not bad. I'll do it that way.
You ever salt your watermelon?
I mean, I have.
Okay.
That's the way my mom and grandfather used to do it all the time. They used to sit at a table with a salt shaker between them, and they each had watermelon. They would just, you know.
Just salty and sweet.
Shake it on there. They love it. So National Watermelon Day today. Now, here's the difference for me. I am all about fake watermelon flavor. Watermelon Jolly Ranchers, watermelon hard candy, watermelon flavored popsicles. Bring that all day long.
You know what? For a lot of fruit-flavored stuff, if I like the actual fruit flavor, I don't care much for the artificial version of it. And reverse. If I don't like the fruit normally, I'll like the artificial flavor a little bit more. Like with banana. I like artificial banana more than I like actual bananas. But watermelon is one of the rare exceptions where I do like both a lot.
Yeah, I like both on banana. The real thing, the flavor, whatever it is. Banana, everything.
Do you
I'm
have
good.
A favorite watermelon-flavored candy or gum or something like that?
Two.
The Jolly Rancher?
Straight up Jolly Rancher and then the watermelon-flavored Bubble Yum back in the day.
Yes!
Was hardcore. A lot of people were Bubblicious people, but they're wrong. Bubble Yum is a superior gum to me because it was better for bubbles. It wasn't as grainy. And the Watermelon Bubble Yum and Hubba Bubba, those two brands, awesome. Awesome watermelon flavor.
Did you ever eat the one, the version of the gum that had like the little juice packet in it? You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah, were they called Gushers back
Gushers,
then?
Gushers, Gushers gum. That was a nice little shot in the mouth.
Those are good. Those are good, Trey. All right, real quick, on this day in sports, today is the anniversary of the first day Jesse Owens won an Olympic event in front of Adolf Hitler.
Screw you, Hitler.
1936, he won the 100 meters, and that's the day Hitler found out, my plan may not work. This may not work like I wanted it to work, because that American is kind of fast.
Huh. Maybe blonde-haired, blue-eyed people are not elite when it comes to the physical stuff, as I thought.
Yeah. Also, today's the anniversary, Trey, of one of my favorite He Got Caught moments. 1987, Joe Niekro is on the mound, and they come out to investigate why the ball is all scuffed up. Joe goes into his back pocket, flicks his hand out, and this nail file goes flying onto the field. And when you watch the video, the umpire has his hand in his head, and he looks down like, oh, and he picks it up, and then the head umpire throws him out. It's fantastic. I don't know if Niekro thought he could take his hand out of the pocket and it not fly out, or if he thought he could throw it far enough where it's like, oh, no, they won't see it if I throw it to first base or something. It was great. One of the great got caught moments in sports.
Like a five-year-old trying to hide the fact that he or she had just done something wrong.
It was like me when my mom found the lettuce that I used to put in my pants pockets at dinner when I didn't want to eat the lettuce, but then I'd forget to throw it out in the yard. She'd say, what is this? And there was nothing I could do. I'd have to say, that's my lettuce. I didn't want to eat it.
You tried to go Andy Dufresne in your front yard like Andy was clearing rocks out of his pocket in the yard.
I did. I would come up with excuses. We'd go out and play football the next day, or that night I'd go out. Oh, I need to go for a walk. I need to think a little bit. And I'm throwing lettuce out.
Where are those rabbits all over your pockets, Chad?
I'm just that friendly. That is why August 3rd matters. We hope everybody is having a great Monday. Also, a quick serious shout out to you folks that may have connections in El Paso. Today is the one-year anniversary of that horrific El Paso Walmart shooting. So certainly great best thoughts and prayers and wishes going out to all those families that are still dealing with that, I'm sure, a year later. Such a horrible, horrible event. All right, coming up next, we'll get you stems and seeds before we get out of here, including more NFL opt-out discussions, and are they going to move the date for when you have to decide to opt out. We will get into all of that. Plus, we do have a college football game that's been set in this area, and they're going to try to play it even earlier. We'll tell you what it is on the horn. Speaking of 1986, which I was earlier, I think that was the year this one came out, Sam Pika jumping in, getting ready to produce the triple option, My Adidas from the Raising Hell album. One of the many albums that let a whole bunch of white kids know that there was a whole nother something out there you might want to check out.
It's a bit ironic, Sam playing songs about shoes, since he very rarely wears shoes in this office.
That's fair.
This is what happens when I don't realize Trey didn't pick a song until 30 seconds before we come back.
Nice move by you. But this is a good pick considering that you were rushed.
But where it does line up is that all members of Run DMC and Sam don't even know what shoelaces are, right?
Yeah.
None of those four people even care about shoelaces, for sure.
Look, I've used shoelaces for a long time, Chad. Any pair of shoes that I get that have laces, without fail, I will double knot and try never to have to tie those shoes if I have the opportunity.
You just want to tie them once and move
just
on?
Just tie them once and put on, off and on.
Fair enough.
Like they go.
By the way, before we get into stems and seeds, we were talking about watermelon. Speaking of seeds, it's National Watermelon Day. Somebody says the watermelon blow pop is one of their favorites. Another good watermelon flavor.
Absolutely. But unlike Bubble Yum, and how great of a gum that is just for chewing and for the flavor sticking around and for blowing bubbles, Blow Pop gum was awful.
Yeah, that's terrible. Absolutely terrible. Also, one of our listeners says that they always got made fun of by their family because they are allergic to watermelon and they are black. They offered that information up. So I guess that adds to the embarrassment in the family. And I'm with you in terms of the watermelon thing, because I got made fun of all day, all night by my family for not liking watermelon and iced tea. Those are the two things. They couldn't understand why I didn't like. So I get how a family could get on you there. But yeah, you see, you may have a whole other cultural reason to think that you got ripped on because you're allergic to watermelon.
Very well done there, Big Mike. And thank you, as always, for all the contributions that you provide for this show and radio station.
Yes, sir. All right, let's get you some stems and seeds. We got at least one football game set to play. No stress, no seeds, no stems, no sticks. Brought to you by AV Consultations. Call 255-8678, 255-8678, or go to avconsultations.com. SMU was scheduled to play Texas State in San Marcos. Guess what? They're still planning to play it. They're just not going to do it on September 5th. They're going to do what Oklahoma did. They're going to do what Kansas did. They're going to move it up to August 29th. So we are not only 26 days away from those other two games, maybe 26 days away from Texas State getting their season started. We've also talked today about, will SMU still play TCU in a rival game? Big 12 gets to help figure that out. Hopefully tonight we find something out. Sun Belt Conference says, Trey, they're going to keep their non-conference games intact if they can and play an 8-game conference schedule. So the Sun Belt is a conference that if the Big 12 is really looking for partners, the Sun Belt wants to play its non-conference. So hopefully they will be able to do that.
I, at this point, wouldn't be surprised if the Big 12 thought it was a good idea to partner up with the Sun Belt for anything for this football season. We will hopefully find something out by business day tomorrow. Hey, Chad, we know that NFL teams are planning on greatly reduced capacity of fans in the stands, if at all, this year.
Yep.
We now know that the Vegas Raiders, their inaugural season in Nevada, will be played home game wise without any fans in the stands. It looks like that has been confirmed by an email sent out by Mark Davis, who obviously expresses disappointment that there will not be fans this year, but asks that folks have some patience and understanding with the current circumstances going on with COVID.
Mark Davis gets dogged for a lot of different things, haircut being number one, but I get his logic here. He's going with the idea of, if I'm going to disappoint 15 of you, I'm going to disappoint all of you. I am not going to pick my sweet people over my black hole people. I respect that about him. And he was saying that weeks ago when they first announced that this is probably the way they were going to go. On some level, I respect that. And that's what I'm kind of wondering if even it sort of institution NFL teams like a Packers, Bears, like eventually is that where they're going to have to go? And say, man, we can't, you know what, let's just do it to all of them because I can't pick and choose which fans I piss off. Let's just piss them all off.
I'm surprised the NFL hasn't done that to this point. I assumed that because they have the ability to set a universal policy, they would do so, while also maybe showing some sign that they actually do care about the player's health, which, how do you do that? You minimize how many people are going to be around you while you're having to play those games on Sunday or Monday.
Yep, and it's true. Because the sports we're seeing that are able to go right now are doing it in front of nobody, whether it's whatever you believe the bubble is with the NBA, but once they get to that arena, no fans in the stands there, no fans at NHL games, and so on and so forth. You're not letting fans out on the golf course with these golfers, and maybe that's part of why they've been able to do what they are doing. Also in the NFL, Trey, more guys opting out. Let's watch for this story, too. There are players that are a little worried and kind of upset with the NFL about moving the opt-out deadline. The deadline was going to be like later this week or next week, but there's talk that they might move it to this Wednesday. And guys like Devin McCourty of the Patriots have expressed a little bit of anger because they're like, well, wait a second. We're just getting into camp. We're just figuring out what's going on. You got to give us time to figure out what we want to do here. They think the NFL's moving the date because the NFL's freaking out because so many guys are opting out. 8 Patriots now have opted out. Not McCourty yet, but I think Jason McCourty might have. Devin didn't. But 8 Patriots, other players. We're seeing Gardner Minshew and 4 other Jaguars are on the reserve COVID list, which means they're either positive or were around somebody that's positive. So they've got to be out for a little while. But in terms of these opt-outs, I think the NFL may be seeing more numbers than they want to see. And that's at least McCourty's theory of why they're possibly moving this date up. But that'd be pretty weird if they move it to this Wednesday. Because there hasn't been enough football to know yet. You haven't even practiced technically, and you're going to make them make the choice?
Yeah, I would give them all the way up until maybe the week of the regular season supposed to start. Like, you give guys the chance to see if they feel comfortable in this setting, and if they don't, they have the option to opt out.
And because you're not playing preseason, that might make sense.
Exactly.
Yeah.
That's exactly right.
Yeah. But, go ahead.
Chad, we did want to update people one more time on Gary Patterson really stepping in it. He is being accused by a TCU linebacker of using the N-word in front of him on Sunday, attributing the word to what this linebacker was saying in the position meeting room, and then doubling down on that and telling other players that, yeah, he did say the N-word, actually saying the word, but that he was saying it, attributing it to this linebacker. Well, TCU's entire defense, every guy on the defense refused to show up for practice this morning. So Gary Patterson has a little bit of a situation on his hands right now up in Fort Worth.
Yeah, and we'll see how similar or different this will be to that Clemson story we heard about, where you had a coach talking about, it was sort of, I think it's a similar situation, if you will, that there was a coach referenced in a situation where the word came up, but he was not directly referring to the player that way. And I do think that is a huge distinction to make. That's a big distinction to make. So that's what TCU's got to figure out. If they truly did get pulled off to the side in that situation, and there are no witnesses, there were witnesses to the Clemson thing. If those two guys just
admitted it to a bunch of other players while also saying the N-word again.
Do we know Gary admitted it?
Yes.
Or did the player just tell the other players?
No, Gary said it to these other players. He said it twice. He did it once to one guy behind closed doors, supposedly, and then he said the word again while admitting that he had said it to the dude the first time.
You're right. The second time, it would have been in front of people. You're right.
But he also admitted what he did the first time, too. Gary Patterson is in a bad way right now.
We will see what happens there at TCU. Triple Option is coming up. Instant Serious later on this evening as well. Have a great Monday. See ya!